BoolaNetwork.com, episode 112. Kind of fitting that episode 112 would be the first episode in the year 2012. Coincidence? Yes, entirely. Welcome to the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. We're coming to you from North Central Texas, otherwise known here as the Metroplex, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I hope that you ushered in the new year safely and happily. We did. As I hit the record button, today is Monday, January the 2nd, the year 2012. And here in just a few hours, it will have been exactly 34 years since I was married to my wonderful wife, Rhonda. Yeah, a long time. 34 years. We were both not quite 21. Hard to believe, but here we are as we enter our 35th year together. We just got back from going to eat one of her favorite things, smoked sirloin. You'd think here in Texas that I'd be a big steak guy. I'm not. She loves it, and so every year, that's what she gets. That's what she gets as the meal of choice. Pardon me as I rifle through my my notebook, but I have a variety of things on my mind, and I had one thing in mind when I hit the record button, and something different kind of has been pressing upon me. So we'll see where this takes us. A couple of things to kind of get out of the way. I put in a video that I did toward the end of the year, telling stories is just what sales people do. That's what marketing people do. At least I think it's what good salespeople and good marketing people do. We try to communicate in ways that people can connect with and that people can relate to. And I don't mean pitchy, but the communication is just hopefully is something that people can relate to, people are attracted to, and that certainly that people can, they can kind of see themselves in it. Everybody is looking for keys and formulas and secrets and shortcuts and, you know, pick the phrase of choice. Understandably so. And the internet has certainly made it possible where we can, that 10,000 hours to mastery, if indeed that is true, and I don't know that it is, but let's assume that it is. Well, you can achieve 10,000 hours of mastery thanks to the internet. You can do it in something less than 10,000 hours. I believe that's true simply because the access to information is, it's broader and it is deeper. It's just more vast than it has ever been. We look at somebody who studies something in school, for instance, and we may say, well, how many years did they study? Well, do you know some people that went through school and didn't study very much, but they went through 4 or 5 years of college, or maybe 10. Yeah, me too. I mean, I know some people that went through college in 3 years and got a degree, and I know other people who went 10 to 12 years and never did get a degree. So who's got the mastery here? Yeah, I don't think that it's a matter of 10,000 hours. I think it's a matter of the application of these things. And it has caused me to ponder in recent months, and nothing terribly unique or new about this, I don't suppose, but it's the fact that, what I believe is a fact, that success is not digital. Success is not binary. I mean, success is not an either or proposition. Success is not an on off kind of a thing. Well, case in point, not all successful authors achieve the same level of success, or athletes, or singer-songwriters, or rock bands, or actors or actresses, or podcasters, or bloggers. Pick the field, pick the endeavor. There are people that are going to be at the top of the pyramid, people that are going to be top of the food chain. Those wild, crazy, successful rock star types. And then there are going to be people that are going to trickle down from there to people that, well, they're just trying to climb on to the base of the pyramid. They're just trying to get in the game somewhere, somehow. So now we all want to look at that top, you know, that top tier. We want to look at the very highest achievers. And maybe we want to aspire to be like them and to have what they have. I'm not shooting holes in that. I'm just saying that there are degrees of success. And, here's where my head's at. I would argue with people that think having billions of dollars or having millions of dollars, that necessarily is indicative of success more so than, oh, I don't know, pick a number, someone who's making a couple $100,000 a year. Since everybody likes to talk about dollars. So let's talk about dollars. Are there things that you could do if you had $5 million that you can't do if you're making a couple $100,000 a year? Well, of course. But, you know, it kind of presupposes that if you don't have millions and millions of dollars, then your success is something less than somebody else. And, you know, and if that's the case, then the world's richest people would necessarily be the most successful. They would be the most fulfilled. They would be the happiest. They would, and maybe they are. Maybe I just don't know. I'm not one of them, by the way. I don't aspire to be one of them. Life has taught me this. Life has taught me, here on my 34th wedding anniversary, life has taught me that you'd be surprised. You'd just be surprised at how little it takes if you get your head wrapped around the reality that life is so much more than possessions or than a bank account, that it really doesn't take all that much. Because I rather believe that the power of choice is certainly predicated on having our fundamental needs met. And once we have our fundamental needs met, then you get to what is true freedom. And true freedom being defined as the power of choice. And so once you get up in the morning and you no longer are fearful about where your next meal is going to come from, or do you have clean water to drink? Well, do you have water at all? Do you have shelter? Then all of a sudden you realize that you're living a life of choice. There are people on the planet, there are millions upon millions of people, sadly, who get up every day and don't have the choice. Well, I guess they do. I guess they have the choice whether or not to press on and try to survive the day. But they don't have the choice the way you and I think about having choices, right? We think about having choices of, well, I don't like this job, so I want to go find another job. Or I don't have a job, I need to go find a job. Well, there's still great, great power of choice in that. I didn't wake up this morning outside under a tree or the open sky with only the clothes on my back, barefooted, not knowing what I would eat, not knowing if I could find safe water. That's not how I started my day. I started my day probably much like you did. I got up, I went to the bathroom and turned on a spigot where I fully expected clean water to come out, and I brushed my teeth. You know how many millions of people every day not only don't get up in the morning and brush their teeth because they don't have that choice, but they never brush their teeth because they don't have that choice. I take for granted that water is going to come out of that spigot in my bathroom sink, and I assume that it's going to be clean. I rather bank on it, in fact. Oh, and by the way, that was after I got out of my king-size bed, where I have central heat, since we're in the winter. And it does get down into the 30s here in Dallas, even in the winter. And I made my way then to the kitchen where I found something to eat. I happened to have opened the refrigerator, and I got out a little thing of low-fat yogurt and took it for granted. Opened up a drawer, got a spoon out. I had a choice there, by the way. Couple of different kinds of spoons I could have selected. So I didn't begin my day like millions upon millions of people do, and I rather suspect you didn't either. We had this choice. I didn't wake up in a house like some other people in Dallas. I didn't wake up in Mark Cuban's house. My kitchen, I doubt, looks very much like Mark Cuban's kitchen, but I am like him in that I didn't get up thinking about berries I needed to go pick or animals I needed to go kill. And if I did have small kids, and there are some small kids in my life, they're grandkids now, they're not kids, but if I did have small kids, and once upon a time I did, as a father, and thankfully now they are grown, but I certainly have never looked at them with fretful concern over where am I going to put these children to bed tonight? How am I possibly going to feed these kids tonight? I have not in the 54 years that I've been on this planet, I have not had a single day like that. But millions of people do and have. Sure, I'm rich. I rather suspect if you're able to listen to this podcast, if you own enough technology that you're able to do that, I would suspect you're rich too. I suspect that I'm successful, and I suspect you are too. Oh, are you as successful as you would like to be? No, probably not, because all this power of choice, it also compels us to want more. We want more. We're not satisfied with what we've got. I'm in an especially thankful, grateful kind of a mood today, probably because it is my 34th wedding anniversary. And as I look back over the 34 years of my married life to one woman, I'm rather thankful for the way life has turned out. I don't hold myself up as the epitome of financial success, career success, business success. I've made my share of money. I've lost my share of money, like many of us have. I have successfully raised two children. Well, my wife and I together did. And if you are middle-aged and you are now a grandfather, you may have done the same. There are lots of us out here who pull that off, by the way. There's nothing miraculous about it. There's nothing magical about it. It takes hard work. But my wife and I, We're in a rather lengthy line, I suspect, of parents who have done their very best to raise grown kids who are now in the process of raising their own. Some of us may live in fancier houses than others. Some of us may have nicer toys for the grandkids to play with and others, but I don't rather think the grandkids much care, you know? I mean, sitting in the floor with, with some Uno cards, you know, I mean, come on, it's not the stuff that multimillionaires' houses are made of, and I don't rather think that these little people care. The point of all this, the point is pretty simple. The point is there are people that get really hung up in a number, and we seem to be a society that so loves to chase numbers. And the whole notion of chasing a number is you don't chase a number that you already have. You've already caught that number, and that's not the number you're now chasing. And whether you have $100 or $100 million, it's likely you're still chasing a number. And it's likely that, and I'm right there with you, it's likely that we fall prey to the thought that there's something magical about that number. There's nothing magical about the number that we now have. We caught that number. We chased it, and we now know, well, the mystique is off. Is it what we thought it would be? We don't know. We don't think like that. We rarely do we go back and think soberly enough about what we thought that number would appear like. But now that we're there, we know that we were wrong. But we're not wrong about the next number, you know. The next number, we know it will be everything we dream it will be. Yeah, will it? Will it really? No. You know better than that. But still we chase it. Still we chase it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should not be ambitious. I'm not saying that we should not want to improve our financial lot in life. But I am saying that maybe in your life, if it helps you at all, I can certainly reflect on my own life and realize the hours and the days, if not weeks, months, and years, devoted to the thought of that number or something represented by some number. If not a dollar, then, you know, it was sales or revenues or growth of some sort, an increase in a number. And whatever I thought that was that would represent, whatever benefits I thought that would bring life. And meanwhile, what I have now lived long enough to know for my own life, and if this helps you, great, and if it doesn't, well, I'm sorry, you're wasting your time, that the days and the time spent thinking and dreaming probably would have been vastly better spent thinking about how grateful I should be for what I've got now and taking every advantage of the present. Even if the present wasn't as spectacular as maybe I would have hoped it would have been, and even if I were hopeful that the future would be even more spectacular than the past, the fact of the matter is today is what we have, this moment is what we have, and what are we going to do with it? And if, like me, you were blessed enough to sit across a table as you shared a meal of what was for me, what was my wife's favorite food. And as I looked at this woman that I've spent 34 married years with now, I am certainly made to wonder, how many hours have I lost? How many hours have I lost that I may never, well, I won't ever get back? How many hours, you know, lamenting that I wasn't making what I wanted to make, what I thought I should make, what I thought I was worth? How many hours chasing, just that one more rung? I need one more rung of success. I need, that's what I need. I need one more. How do you temper all this? You know, I mean, how do you temper chasing the dreams and chasing the objectives and the career goals and still maintain some posture where you can be thankful for today and you take every advantage of the things that you've got today? I wish I had the answer for you. because that would mean I would have the answer for myself. I rather think that when you get up in the morning, though, and you're able to go to a kitchen or a bathroom sink, as I am, and turn that spigot and fully expect and get clean water, that's quite a big deal. That is quite a big deal. It is made less of a big deal when you look at your kitchen or bathroom sink and perhaps there's a chip in the porcelain and you realize that somewhere, perhaps in the vicinity of where you live, there is someone who's got gold-plated fixtures and a closet that's as large as your house. And then you begin to digress into thoughts of how pathetic you are by comparison. And I rather suspect in America that's what happens to us. We measure ourselves and compare ourselves to those that have so much more than we do. And we think, yes, that's what I want. Yes, wouldn't that be great? And because we are creatures of imagination, we can envision what that might be like. We can think about, you know, if I had $1 million, I mean, we can sing the song with the Bare Naked Ladies and think, yeah, you know, I wouldn't have to eat Kraft dinners. Ah, but I would. I'd just eat more. My name is Randy Cantrell. Happy New Year to you. Happy anniversary to me and to my wife of 34 years. Might we get 34 more years out of this thing? I could only hope. And I can certainly hope that they are as good as the last years have been. For you, well, for you, I hope that 2012 is everything you want it to be. Do I hope that all of your wildest dreams will come true? Not necessarily, because I don't know what your dreams are and I don't know how wild they are. And frankly, if they did come true, they might not be good for you. So be careful what you wish for. Plan on sharing a bit more as we now have 2012 underway. Talking a little bit more about the past, about people that I encounter and I'm trying to help. My hope and my goal is that in telling the stories, they can teach you a thing or two. And maybe, well, I'll confess what I'm hoping that the replaying of a few stories will help me. Maybe help me learn some things that I should have learned when they happened. But for whatever reason, I'm like you, stubborn, hard-headed, and sometimes just not nearly as bright as I think I am. Lord willing, it'll be a good year. I'm optimistic. I hope you are too. I do think that by and large, you do get what you expect, and I expect 2012 to be, well, I expect to do my best to make it as good as I can, and I hope that's your expectation too. If I can be of service, you know where to find me. You can find me at Twitter at Randy Cantrell. It's just RandyCantrell. You can go to Connect with Randy, and there are all kinds of social icons and even an email address where you can reach me. You can leave me voicemail at the number there, as well as Rosie begins to bark at anything and everything she sees out the window. Yeah, if you want a quiet podcast, this probably ain't the one to listen to, because with two white West Highland Terriers that love to look out the window and observe every movement and bark at it, that's what this podcast is all about. BulaNetwork.com, that is the website. My name is Randy Cantrell. The city of origin is Dallas. Well, Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas. And yes, you know it. This is the Yellow Studio.